Anyway, what a unique day that we live in. Time in our world is so unique, and I don't know why people would not want to be a part of a church, and I guess it's because they don't understand what they're missing. That's my very strong opinion. Had somebody say to me years ago, well, you have to because you're the pastor. I said, no, I don't. I could choose to do anything else if I wanted to. Yeah, I would be out of God's will, but don't tell me I have to. I choose to trust God and follow the Lord just like everybody else. The Fall Fest, I want to just say really quickly, the Fall Fest, I always recite the Apostle Paul. I became all things to all men, if by any means possible I might save some. And I've reduced that and paraphrased it some. It is our mission. It should be our mission to do whatever we can. We're not talking about sin, to become all things to all men so we can save whoever we can. And whether we have a Fall Fest here or not, this world's going trick-or-treating. I would like to introduce him to our church. I would like to introduce him to a safe environment. And I would like to introduce him to us and hopefully introduce him to the Lord. I feel it's important for a church to be engaged in their community. So I would love it, and I would be thankful if you would come and you would be a part of that and help out. We need you. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. A couple thank yous that I keep forgetting to say that I want to thank Brother Jeff in the back, who's come down and done a lot of work now with our skid steer and moved a lot of the dirt and in the back and used it to. And then Brother Richard has been so kind as to. We've had a couple hiccups with that thing already, and some things that just a gas line that sprung a leak and a hydraulic line that had been rubbing on steel probably for a very long time as though it burst. And Brother Richard has come down and fixed those things, and it's not a small task. We're thankful that he has the knowledge to do that. I'm thankful for everybody that does so much, but I wanted to point them out because they spent a lot of time recently taking care of those problems. Now, I'm not going to lie. I'm smarter than what you think I am. And when I bought that, I bought it knowing that Brother Richard could repair them. And so I had to position ourselves so you could be a blessing. What's that? What did he say? I did. I know I did. I caught you. But it was there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. I hope I'm not forgetting anything or anybody. David and Marley are on their way to, they'll be late in a little bit on their way to Ireland for their honeymoon. And from there, it's all downhill. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I'm kidding. Genesis 2:15 and then verse 21-22. Going back to the garden. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now, when you hear my title, you're going to really scratch your head. But I want you just to go ahead and work with me. I want to preach to you this morning on this title, I'm Batman. I am Batman. Would you bow your heads and we'll ask Brother Matthew to pray? He also did a wonderful job on Wednesday night. Thank you.
Gracious Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you for the wonderful spirit that we feel here this morning.
Lord, help us,
God, we
I
ask
pray
your
right
blessing
now,
upon
God,
this message, Lord,
glorified.
That however it needs to fall, Lord,
Lord,
let it fall.
That you
God, we ask that your will is what takes place in
this
service today, Lord.
Jesus.
God, may you just lead and direct Pastor, Lord, into the direction he needs to be led into, Lord. God, may you just use him as the mouthpiece, Lord, as you see fit today,
Jesus.
may the Spirit of the Most High God, Lord, just fall on him, Lord. And God, as he speaks, may you speak through him, Jesus. And may our eyes and ears just be focused on you and what you have to say to us this morning. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And before I begin, I want to say, I walked in the sanctuary this morning, I looked over, and I saw Shayla. Shayla, stand up and turn around and wave to everybody. Let them see. Go ahead, you can do it. Turn around and wave. We haven't seen Shayla in a long time, and I was so happy to see her here. If you don't know it, this is Brother Jerome's sister. And just some things happened that made some changes years ago, and I believe God is working slowly to restore. In 1938, DC debuted Superman. DC soon realized the superhero concept was extremely profitable, and they wanted more characters like Superman. 1939, 1 year later, they commissioned Bob Kane, an artist, to create another superhero. In 1939, Batman debuted. Unlike Superman, Batman has no superpowers, but his appeal, they said, was his intellect, his detective skill, and a fear-based persona. Now, the main DC continuity, because there's a lot of knockoffs when it comes to this stuff, and some of the, I gotta be careful what words I use. Some of the very strange folks in our society are very passionate about this stuff. And if you misquote something, they'll go nuts. But the main DC continuity says that Batman or Bruce Wayne never married. Bruce Wayne was a wealthy bachelor who lost his parents when they were mugged and shot by a man by the name of Joe Chill. They got every detail on their walk home from a movie. Even the name of the movie is there. Now you might say, well, what's odd about that? The whole thing's fiction. But they've made it that real. Bruce is traumatized and grief-stricken after his parents were killed in this mugging. And he swears an oath over his parents' grave. And he swore a war on all criminals. In the main timeline, Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle, who is Catwoman, they were both here at the wedding yesterday. They came very close to getting married, but they didn't. In Batman, Volume 3, for those of you who might be interested, number 50, 2018 edition, their long-running romance led to a planned wedding. However, Selina left Bruce on their wedding night, believing that if he were truly happy, he wouldn't be Batman anymore. Bruce Wayne used his money to become somebody that he wasn't, because of what he experienced in life. And in the end, he has no wife, no family, and no heir. Sad story, to be honest with you. I guess if I were writing comics, I might have made it a little more pleasant. But it tells us a story of so many people today. A lifestyle that so many people are living, a persona born out of fear, or personality born out of fear. And because of that, they become somebody that God never intended them to be. When God created man, he had this perfect plan. It was perfect. He puts Adam in this garden, beautiful garden. He causes a deep sleep to fall upon Adam because God did not want any Bruce Wayne to ever be alone. Not just a spouse, but just loneliness in general. He takes the rib, he creates woman, and she becomes Adam's wife. God intended for Adam and Eve to have peace and prosperity. He intended for man to grow, to have children, not be children, and be blessed through God's bosom. God knew what man should be. And more importantly, God knew what man shouldn't be. Over time, we become people that we're not because, like Bruce Wayne, of things that we have endured over a lifetime. Those experiences develop personalities that many times, if not most, are fear-driven. And although they cause us, we grow older, you probably have wondered that many adults have never really grown up because they were locked at that point of trauma in their life. And so they grow a beard and they get married, men and women. And never have the life that God intended them to have. This perfect picture, this Garden of Eden that supplied everything that man would need. And so I found out that we will persevere, we will overcome, but we'll take on personalities. And we buy into the lies of society that try to make us somebody that God never intended us to be. Until one day we're no longer recognizable to the person that God birthed in that mother's womb. And so there's, I would say, a little Bruce Wayne in all of us. And eventually, there becomes a little Batman in all of us. Somewhere along the line, we put on masks. We pretend like everything's okay. We've done a great job with our attire to make us look polished and put together. Years ago, I'm just going to be honest with you, one of the conversations that my wife and I used to have was, God, will we ever get normal people in the church? But we realized there really is no normal people. Everybody has battle scars. Everybody has been touched by pain and sorrow and suffering. Everybody has dealt with some form of trauma somewhere or another. Everybody has a story. And everybody has a mask. I woke up two nights in a row with this in my spirit, not the Batman concept, thank the Lord. But what I want to preach to you today is what I woke up, incidentally, Thursday, my last day in Columbus, and I woke up and I've got these things just running through my mind. That's how I wake up a lot. That's why I'm up four or five times a night. At 52, that's not good. And so I grab my iPad and I start typing some things before I forget them. And I left it open where it was. And so the next morning I got home, and Friday morning I woke up and I had this stuff running through my head. And I opened my iPad and there was the night before. Exact same thing. And I told my wife and I said, well, God must know what he wants me to preach Sunday. So let me talk to you about a couple people in the Bible. One man by the name of Samson. This was in my spirit. It dawned on me that Samson was still in captivity. He was still a subject of the Philistines. But the difference was the distance between Samson's folly and his faith. He lost his strength because of his folly. He regained his strength because of his faith. But incidentally, he lost his strength while living in freedom, and he regained his strength while being a prisoner, now blind, by the Philistines. Because there's something about our decisions and the places they take us that it's normally only there in those self-created prisons that we have the opportunity to regain what we have lost. But oftentimes, because humanity, I'll never forget when the World Trade Centers were sitting there in rubble. And I'll never forget President Bush's comments. He said, "We will rebuild these buildings." I thought about that, and I thought about Nehemiah, and I thought, one of our greatest mistakes as Americans is we just rebuild what's been destroyed without ever seeking counsel and wisdom, and should we rebuild, and is there a reason we're standing on this heap of rubble that we call life? Is there something that I should do different before I rebuild? And so Nehemiah, when he decides to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, he doesn't just go and say, "I'm going to rebuild and we're God's people, bless the Lord." No, he first goes to prayer and he seeks wisdom from God and favor. And then once he knows that he has obtained that, now he goes to the king and now he seeks a letter. And it was those letters that gave him not only the permission, but all the materials that he needed to rebuild. Because when God does it, God provides it. When we insist on it, we find our ways, but typically that way is out of God's way. And so the distance between Samson's prison and the pillar was just simply that he learned to trust God again. His trust was the only thing that kept space between his folly and his redemption, if you please. Somewhere while he was sitting there, he learned to trust God. And so trust was the distance to Samson's desired destination. Everybody has a desired destination in life. Unfortunately, sometimes we're carnally minded and our destinations are carnally driven and they're not driven by God and they're not birth of the Holy Ghost, but they're birth just of our own desires. And while Samson was with Delilah, his humanity convinced him that it didn't really matter if he said something or not, because he, as every other time, said, "I can break these cords." Because somewhere in Samson's life, the man that God made him went to his head and he began to think he was somebody that he was not. Many preachers fall in the pulpit. Many Christians fall at the altar. Because somewhere along the line, we forget how we got there. And we forget how we once laid on the floor and we pleaded for the blood of Jesus to be effective in our life and to restore us from the ruins of what we called our life. And so it was with Samson. He was used to walking around with his strength and used to walking around as he walked in the room. People said, "Oh, wow, it's Samson. Wow, did you hear what he did? Did you hear how many Philistines he killed?" And at some point, Samson put on a mask and he began to think that he was really somebody. And he lost sight that God had raised him to be a deliverer, not to be a superhero. And so he became invincible to himself. He stopped trusting God and he started trusting in his own strength. And while he was in prison, he began to trust the Lord again. And he let his hair grow, maybe because there was no barbers there, I don't know. But we know it was all about his trust in God's word in his life. And so it's important that we understand today that you can love the Lord. It doesn't mean you trust the Lord. Not at all. You say, hogwash, really? Tell me about your marriage. Tell me you trust the person wholeheartedly that you love. Tell me you've never wrestled with trust issues. You are Batman. Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. Now faith and trust are synonymous with each other. Now the dictionary doesn't say that, I do. Because they are. You will trust if you believe. And sometimes we have engaged in the church process, if you please. And we've learned to come and we've learned to give and we're thankful for all of that. But I want you to get to the place where you can trust God to be the author of your life all over again. Where you can trust God to reach back and to restore some things that have never been restored. And spiritual calluses have grown in your life. And you now have hardened yourself and you've become somebody that God never created in the first place. You know what's so powerful to me, and I mean this with all of my heart, about a baby, an infant, is they're wholly reliant upon their mother or their father. You can take that helpless child, you can do anything, and some have. You can do horrible things, and some have. Or you can choose to be a protector and a nurturer. When that child begins to grow, that personality begins to be formed. And the personality is formed based off of the experiences of the child. And at one point, that child may get to the point where he says, I don't have to take this from you anymore. And now the personality begins to be formed. But it's that child who has been nurtured and loved and cared for and protected. As that child gets over, they'll never stop learning to let their parents love them or care for them. They'll never stop trusting in the advice and the counsel of those that they knew protected them and cared for them during the most vulnerable times of their life. And that's how it is with us and with God. In the beginning, we all had to trust him. But as we grow, something happens and we see something we don't like, or something happens we don't like, or something happens that hurts us. And so we begin to form this Bruce Wayne personality that's born out of fear of losing again. And we become somebody that God was never trying to birth in the first place. Israel stopped trusting God, and they started trusting themselves when they said to Aaron, up! Make us gods, for these be the gods that brought us out of Egypt. Now, I don't know what gets a person to that place in life, but I can't imagine myself one day waking up and saying, I'm going to make me a statue, and I'm going to worship it because this is the God that has rescued me from my life. But I'll tell you what it is. You can pick it up and you can move that God wherever you want. And you can take it wherever you want to take it. But God, Jehovah, Jesus, does not answer to our beck and call. He is there. Why? To serve us, not hand and foot service, but to serve by giving his life that he may set us free from our past, from the things that we have endured, from the things that we have encountered, from the sufferings of this present day or yesterday. When Israel stopped trusting God. And that was birthed by delusion. that they were somehow truly able to make a God and make that God do what they wanted that God to do. Pure delusion. When they spied out the land, they refused to trust God any longer. That was a choice. They looked at what God promised and they said, nope, not possible. They refused to trust God. All of their folly lie in their unwillingness or inability to trust. And they completely stopped trusting God, and they would have been content staying right where they were, kind of like Americans. We find ourselves in these places of life. We're not happy. We're miserable. Suffering. Learn to deal with suffering. Learn to deal with the cards that have been dealt, as I've had people say to me, these are my cards. But in actuality, they've just become content where they are. And then they buy a mask and they put it on. And they begin to pretend that they're somebody that they're not. I thank God for some of you big guys. Some days I'm thankful that I'm not you. Because sometimes some of these big dudes, they walk around and they just think they're all that and a cup of tea. Anybody know who the YouTuber Anatoly is? That's his YouTube name. I love this guy. He doesn't look like me, but kind of. You just roll the... He's not a big guy at all. And he goes around these gyms. He's a world-class power lifter. And he wears this jumpsuit. And he doesn't have these big bulging muscles. And he goes up and he plays dumb. He's got an accent because he's Ukrainian, actually, I think. And he walks up and he plays dumb. Can I try? And they'll laugh at him, these guys, huge guys. And they'll scoff at him. And he walks over and he'll start just... And they just sit there just complete. And I laugh every time. I love it. I'm like, the arrogance. Sometimes with size comes arrogance. Now, it just doesn't mean that, but it does. Why? Because I've made myself into somebody. Look at me. And pride comes with that. I didn't say it has to, but it can. And you get to the point where you think you can take care of yourself. You don't need, listen to me. If a tree falls on your car while you're driving down the road, which happens, you can't stop that. If somebody hijacks a plane while you're on it, you can't stop that. If somebody mugs you and stabs you and takes your life for your wallet, you can't stop that. There are many things that can happen in life that you can't stop. And when we learn that we are human and we will all die, and you don't know, you can wake up tomorrow and they can tell you you've got a horrible disease that's taking your life. You can't stop it. But when you learn to trust God, it just seems to add something to the equation. And you say, God, not by my might and not by my power, but by your spirit, saith God. And then you learn that I've got somewhere to go. I don't have to fix all the life's problems. I don't have to have all the answers, but I do got to get rid of my pride and let God pull some of the strings in my life. I read Genesis 17 and 17, and I caught something that never popped out at me in this text, and it bothered me. You're on top of it, Nicole. You are ready to be a mother. At the drop of a hat, you're on it. Then Abraham fell upon his face, and he laughed, and he said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? He didn't trust God. Now watch what he says next. To me, it's shocking. And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said, watch, oh, that Ishmael might be before thee. Rather than trust God for Isaac, he said, take what I've made and make this my promise. Take Ishmael, Make him the promise. He's already here. It's already done. Rather than trust God, he and Sarai made their own way. And he wanted God to use that to bless him and to be his blessed child, the heir of his seed. But no, God would not do that because that's not who I promised you. And he goes on to say in the next verse, the Lord says, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him and for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. God said, no, I'm not taking your mask. I'm not taking your whatever it is you think that you brought into this world that can be. That's not what I planned for you. That's not what I promised for you. And I'm going to tell you this. She will have a child. It doesn't matter how old she is, and you will be a father again, and he will be blessed, and I will bless the nations of the earth through your seed, because I'm God and I can do it. And if you'll trust me, nothing is impossible for God. But we gotta learn to trust God again. We gotta learn to trust God and not ourselves. Trust his ways and not our ways. And then in chapter 18, verse 11, it says, now Abram and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself. They both had trust issues. Isn't it funny? Watch this. Isn't it funny that the man that was willing to pack his bags and leave everything behind, you see, it's easier to trust God what you have control over than it is to trust God what you have no control over. Sure, I can pack my bags. I can move. I'll leave my house, put a for sale sign up. We're going to go. God, I'll trust you. Lead. I'll trust you. God's doing something. But when you're up there in age and you feel like your prime is past, or how about you feel like your time is past? What's God going to do with me? I've already wrecked my life. God, I wish I could get some people to drop their mask today and say, if I'll just trust God again. No, you don't trust God, or I wouldn't be preaching this word today. You don't trust God, and every obstacle that you've had in your life is because you've refused to trust God. And you have developed this persona of fear, driven by fear, fear of rejection, fear of not succeeding. And because of that, you got to take other areas in your life where you can dominate over because of who you are. And you can have control rather than just trust God. And Sarah laughed and said, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. What would you like God to birth in your life today? I'm not talking about money and success and all that silly nonsense. What would you like God to do? What would you, if you could, let go of? I can't let go, though. I'm not ready. You are ready. You are ready. You are ready. You just have to trust God. You have to trust that he will not hurt you. You have to trust that God will not let you go back. I wish I could get somebody to hear me this morning. I feel the Holy Ghost trying to tap some people on the shoulder and say, he's talking to you. Are you listening? He's talking. Just trust me. Just trust me. That's all you got to do is just trust God. One of the things that I've heard over the years that I can't stand, we are overcomers. No, you're not. You're not an overcomer. You've never been an overcomer one day in your life. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. That's how we overcome. Not by our abilities, not because we decided we're going to pick ourselves up and brush ourselves off and we're going to... No. That's how we pick up masks. We overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. My testimony is, I came to the Lord broken. I came to the Lord wanting. I came to the Lord hurting. I came to the Lord empty. And I chose to trust him. And he took me. And he picked me up and he set my feet on solid ground. And he set me on a course that I would have never dreamed 5 years ago that I'd be on. Not because of me, but because the Lord is good. And his mercy endures forever. All I had to do was just trust him. You're not an overcomer. The sooner you realize that, Samson, I will get up like every other time. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to church again. And one day, you're not going to. Told my wife I'm going to preach a message here soon. I started writing some things down. Do you want to go to heaven? Cut and dry, very simple, very easy. At some point, you got to say, with your hands tied and your hair cut, God, I messed up. I didn't trust you. I didn't trust you. I'm going to keep on going. Sometimes you got to come into the house of God and say, God, here I am. I'm broken. I'm on the edge of an abyss in my life. I feel like I don't have a prayer life anymore. I feel like I don't know how to call on God anymore. I don't know what's happened to my passion. I don't know what to do with my situation. Sometimes you got to come in and take your mask off and say, I'm not Batman. I'm me. Here I am in the need of prayer. Here I am. I need God to touch me today. If he doesn't, I might not make it another day. Repetitive story. I'll never forget that service I came into. I was broken. I was empty. I don't know why. I'm quite sure God was trying to drain me of some stuff. And the preacher had an evangelist that day. He got up and preached. And I'm waiting. Okay, God, anytime. Hit me with that lightning bolt. Do something. I sat there dead and empty, like some of you. But the difference between me and some of you is I knew I was dead and empty. I knew it. And nothing. Preacher gets done preaching and nothing. I thought, God, this service is coming to an end. And I've come here and I needed you today. And I just feel like nothing has happened. The altar call was about over. People started talking. And the preacher walked up and he says, I feel like we should sing that old song. Whose report do you believe? And that was my song. I don't know why, but I just felt like that was God saying, I hear you. You're not alone in this. I hear you. I know your heart cry. And they began to sing that song, and I just felt like something broke in me. It wasn't the music. It was God and his timing, and I trusted him. And he said, will you trust me today? Who are you going to believe today? Are you going to believe your feelings? Or are you going to trust that I am in charge now, and I'm taking you where I want to take you, and I've got promises for you, but you've got to trust me. And so we become somebody that we're not because we won't admit who we are. We put on our mask and we think we're cool. I shouldn't say these things on camera. I told someone last night, I said, my son dressed up like that too when he was 6. Gavin, where are you at? Everywhere we went, he wore that stinking Spider-Man costume. I got pictures of us sitting in Denny's with Bishop Pasley, and he's sitting right beside Brother Pasley in his Spider-Man outfit. Now, I love it. I loved it every moment of it. But I'm be honest with you. If he come into church this morning with that Spider-Man costume on, we'd have a problem. I know that, listen, here's the reality. The reality is people that are afraid to admit they're hurting are hurting. The reality is people that are afraid to admit that I feel lost, they're lost. The reality is people are afraid to admit that, God, my marriage needs help. The reality is people, why is it that we come into the presence of God and we won't lay these things on the Lord? Cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Oh, I don't want any, you can't inconvenience God. Inconvenience me. I became flesh and suffered and was crucified. Also, I could take this from you. Inconvenience God. He is our strength and our strong tower. And we can never be who God intended us to be until we will dismiss the Batman in each one of us that we have developed over time. So, I could call you by name, but I won't. Some of you, not all. Who are you? Who are you? I'm finishing. Who are you that is sitting here before God of creation today? The Bible says he knows our thoughts. He knows our intentions. He numbered every hair in our head. Thank God for some of you, he hasn't had to count at all. A love so rich and so profound and so powerful that he chose to pay a price long before we ever even stepped on the scene. A love that would be applied to every single person that would be born into existence without question, without any type of test to see if you qualify to be God's child. So who are you? Are you willing to trust God today and stop saying, I'm Batman, and say, I'm broken. I'm hurting. I'm hungry. God, I'm thirsty. I need something in the spirit today. I'm empty. Would you stand with me? Because I got to make an altar call somewhere along this way. I knew who I was. Do you know who you are? I'm going to make a very simple appeal today. If you will admit who you are between you and God right now, it doesn't mean you're a sinner. Whatever. Hungry, empty, searching, longing, frustrated, in need of an answer, in need of a touch. If you'll admit to who you are, would you come? I know many of you are already coming. If you know who you are, not who you pretend to be, God has an outcome. There is an expected end to every situation. You don't know when it is. Somebody, I told our leaders this, but someone told me this morning, they said, I should be over this by now, something they had endured in life. And I said, I've got an allergic reaction rash that turned into fungal in a couple parts of my body. It's been since July 15th. I should be over it by now, but I'm not. We don't get to pick how fast something should end. You don't get to choose whether you should be over it or not. Trauma is trauma. And trauma affects everybody differently. Pain and hurt and suffering. The things that we go through. Don't say you should be over it. Just say who you are. Lord, here I am. It's me. I don't know about everybody else, but it's me standing in the need of prayer. Here I am. God, I'm trying. I'm trying to push past this, but for some reason you haven't let me past it yet. And so I'm going to trust you today. And I feel like God is trying to say to some people, if you'll trust me, just watch and see what I'm doing. It might not happen in your time, but trust me. Just trust me. If you trust me to begin this journey, trust me to finish the journey. If you trust in me to leave Egypt, then trust me when I show you the promised land. You might not always feel like it's going to happen. Just trust him. Trust him. Trust God. Trust God. Trust him. God, I wish somebody would lift their hands and say, God, I'm going to trust you today. I'm going to trust you. I'll keep trusting you. I'm going to keep holding on and trusting you. Because without you, I'm nothing. I'm not Batman. I'm nothing. Without you, I'm nothing. No matter where you are, without you, I'm nothing. Good singing, Brother Tyler.
I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. And I trust in God, my Savior. You're the one who will never fail.
Let me talk to you for 1 second. Don't open your eyes. This is so broad. Please don't open your eyes. Sometimes people come into the church and they like it. They embrace it. But then along the line, I'm not sure about it. I don't know. Just trust God a little longer. That was Israel. They come out of Egypt. They got to the Red Sea. They fell apart. Trust God that he knew who you were and he knew who I was. And you know my heart of nothing else. Trust God. Trust that he's placed you where he wanted you. God, I wish somebody would lift their hands and say, I'll trust you. I will trust you. I will trust you more. I'll trust you more. I will trust you more than I ever have before.
Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Yes, I trust in God, my Savior. You're the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Assurance. Yes, Jesus is mine. Yes, he's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. It's born of his spirit, it washed in his blood. And what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. See, I trust, and I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail, and I trust in God. Savior, the one who will never fail. and perfect submission, and all is at rest, as I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my step. So this is my story, and this is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. I trust and I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. So I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never.
Sing Blessed Assurance, Brother Tyler.
Blessed Assurance, yes, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time.
This is my story.
Born of His Spirit.
This is your story. Don't reject it.
Washed in His
blood. Don't be ashamed of your story. Hallelujah.
And what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. So this is my story. So this is my story. Yes, this is my song. And this is my soul. I'm praising my risen King. And Savior all the day long. Oh, yes, I trust and I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. And in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Oh, I sought the Lord, and I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. And that's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why trust Him. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He answered. That's why I trust Him. That's why I trust Him. I sought, yes, I sought the Lord, and He answered. I sought the Lord, and He heard, and He trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Yes, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. And I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never. And how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yeah, he loves us.
Can we just lift our hands? Can we just lift our voice one more time? Lord, we come before you. We thankful for the word that we heard tonight or this morning, God. And I pray, Lord, as we go out into this, out into the world, God, that we never forget this word. But Lord, God, that we would take the mask off, God, and be who you called us to be. I pray for strength in the saints, Lord. I pray, God, that you would help them, Lord. Help us, God, as we walk in this world, Lord. God, to be more like you, Lord, and to show you, Lord, through us. God, that we don't wear a mask anymore, Lord. But God, that we would live, Lord, the way that you've called us to live and reach those that need to hear your word. God, we praise you and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.